We've come to a chapter in the Bible that is horrific, horrendous, cruel. Women that live in this country, in America, count yourself very, very, very lucky that you didn't live during this period of time. Women were looked upon as property, and a concubine was looked upon as basically what we call disposable property in many ways. This immorality, cruelty that is shown in this chapter is beyond our understanding today. I want you to understand about the people here. Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah, or Benjamin, were love children of Jacob and Rachel, the woman he loved. He didn't want any other wife but her. These were his children that he loved more than all the rest. Now look at what these children have fallen into. I want you to just see how far they went. Now it came about in those days when there was no king in Israel that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote part of the hill country of Ephraim, who took a concubine for himself from Bethlehem in Judea, in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him, and she went away with him to her father's house in Bethlehem in Judah, and was there for a period of 4 months. Then her husband arose and went after her and spoke tenderly to her in order to bring her back, taking with him his servant and a pair of donkeys. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the girl's father saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now she's his wife. Now a wife and a concubine are basically the same thing, but a concubine's heirs have no rights, have no inheritance. And his father-in-law, the girl's father, detained him, and he remained with him 3 days. So they ate and they drank and they lodged there. That came about on the 4th day that they got up early in the morning and he prepared to go. And the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Sustain yourself for a piece of bread and afterward you may go." So they both sat down and they ate and they drank together. And the girl's father said to the man, "Please be willing to spend the night and let your heart be merry. Just stay here and drink and be happy." He loved his daughter. And he wanted to see them happily together. Now, I was in Damascus, Syria in 1975. And they talked about this custom. Well, they would go on and they'd say, "Oh, stay another night, stay one more night, stay one more night," until they had been there for a whole week, and then they would allow them to go. They wanted them to stay there for a whole week. Then a man arose to go, but his father-in-law urged him, so he spent the night there again. And on the 5th day he arose to go early in the morning, and the girl's father said, "Please sustain yourself and wait until the afternoon," so both of them ate. Now, you have to realize that meals weren't instant potatoes. They didn't have any microwaves back there in that period of time. They didn't have McDonald's and Burger King on the corner. They had to go out and kill an animal and dress it out and to clean it and to cook it. And it took a while. And when the man arose to go with his concubine, his father-in-law, the girl's father said to him, "Behold, now the day has drawn to a close. Please spend the night. And lo, the day is coming to an end. Spend the night here, that your heart may be merry. Then tomorrow you may arise early for your journey, so that you may go home." But the man was not willing to spend the night. So he arose and departed and came to a place opposite Jebus. And this is Jerusalem right here now. That is Jerusalem. And there was with him a pair of saddle donkeys. His concubine also was with him. And when they were near Jebus, the city was almost gone. And the servant said to the master, "Please come and let us turn aside into the city of the Jebusites and spend the night there." However, his master said to him, "We will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who are not of the sons of Israel, but we will go on as far as Gibeah." And he said to his servant, "Come and let us approach one of these places that we may spend the night in Gibeah in Ramah." So they passed along and he went their way. And the sun set on there at Gibeah, which belonged to Benjamin. Benjamin, son of the right hand, Rachel's last son. And they turned aside there in order to enter into the lodge in Gibeah. And when they entered, they sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. Now, if you go back into the Sodom and Gomorrah, you'll find out that these Benjamites had the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew what happened back there. And here they are repeating the same sins that Sodom and Gomorrah had committed. And these are sons of Benjamin. Then behold, an old man was coming out of the field from his work in the evening. Now the man was from the hill country of Ephraim. And he was staying in Gibeah, but the man of the place were Benjamites. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the traveler in the open square of the city. Now, by the way, in the open square of the city, there was no safety. There was no safety. You had to go into someone's house so someone could protect you. They had no protection in the open square at all. And the old man said, "Why are you going and where are you coming from?" And he said, "And we are passing from Benjamin to Judah, to a remote part of the hill country of Ephraim. For I am from there, and I went to Bethlehem in Judea, but I am now going to my house, and no man will take me into his home. Yet there is both straw and fodder for our donkeys, and also bread and wine for me and your maidservant. And the young man who is with your servants, there is no lack of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be to you, shalom. Only let me take care of your needs. However, do not spend the night in the open square." So he took them into his house and gave the donkeys fodder, and they washed their feet, and they ate and they drank. And while they were making merry, behold, the men of the city, a certain worthless fellows, surrounded the house, pounding on the door. And they spoke to the owner of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came into your house, that we may have sexual relationships with him." They wanted to rape him. They were homosexuals. What God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for, they're repeating here, and these are the sons of Israel, not Lot's children, but the sons of Benjamin. Then the man, the owner of the house, went out with them and said to them, "No, my fellows, please do not act so wickedly since this man has come into my house. Do not commit this act of folly. He's under my protection. You can't do this. He's under my protection." An elderly people, an old man, was looked upon with great high respect and honor. "Here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. Please let me bring them out that you may ravish them and do to them whatever you wish, but do not commit such an act of folly against this man." Now, these women were dispensable, weren't they, according to them? His own daughter was a virgin. He said, "Take my virgin daughter." But the man would not listen to them, so that the man seized his concubine and brought her out to them. And they raped her, and they raped her, and they raped her, and they raped her, and they abused her all night until morning. Then they let her go at the approach of dawn. Sounds like a bunch of hell's angels, doesn't it? As the day began to draw, the woman came and fell down at the doorway of the man's house where her master was until full daylight. And when her master rose in the morning and opened the door of the house and went out to go on his way, behold, his concubine was lying at the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, "Get up and let us go." But there was no answer. Then he placed her on the donkey, and a man arose and went to his home. She's dead. They raped her to death. She came and placed her hand on the threshold of the door for safety, and she had none. She'd been raped and beaten all night long. And when he entered his house, he took a knife. And he laid hold of his concubine, and he cut her in 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout the territory of Israel. So that it came about that all who saw it, nothing like this had ever happened or had been seen from that day from the sons of Israel, came up from the land of Egypt to this day, consider it, take counsel, and speak up. Boy. Then all the sons of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gibeah, came out, and the congregation assembled as one man to the Lord in Mizpah. That's the place of judgment, you know. And the chiefs of the people, even all the tribes of Israel, took their stand in the assembly of the people, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Almost 500,000 people. Now as the sons of Benjamin heard that the sons of Israel had gone up to Mizpah, and the sons of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this wicked thing take place?" So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "I came with my concubine to spend the night of Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin." Now this woman evidently was unfaithful to her husband, and she ran off and played the harlot and ran back to her daddy. He went back and got her. He was valuable enough to him for him to go get her. But now she has been raped to death, and beaten, and tortured. And he sends her body off. He doesn't give her a burial. He sends her 12 pieces of her body in different places. "But the men of Gibeah rose up against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me instead, and they ravished my concubine so that she died. And I took hold of my concubine, and I cut her in pieces and sent her throughout the land of Israel's inheritance. For they have committed a lewd and disgraceful act in Israel. Behold, all of you sons of Israel, give your advice and counsel here and now." Now all the people arose up as one man, saying, "Not one of us will go to his tent, nor will any of us return to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do. To get it to Gibeah. We'll go up against it by lot. And we will take 10 men out of 100 throughout the tribes of Israel, and 100 out of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000 supply food for the people. That when we come up to Gibeah of Benjamin, they may punish them for all the disgraceful acts that they have committed to Israel." Not only did they want to rape a man and murder him, but they raped and tortured a woman to the point of death and beyond. Thus all the men of Israel were gathered together against the city and united as one man. Then the tribes of Israel sent men throughout the entire tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What is this wickedness that has taken place among you?" Now remember, this is one city. One city in Benjamin, they're going to destroy the whole family, the whole tribe. Talk about reckless behavior. "Now then, deliver up the man, the worthless fellows in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove this wickedness from Israel." But the sons of Benjamin would not listen to the advice of their brothers, the sons of Israel. And the sons of Benjamin gathered from the cities of Gibeah to go out to battle against the sons of Israel. And from the cities on that day, sons of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men to draw the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who were numbered 700 choice men. And out of these people, 700 choice men were left-handed. Each one could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. They were very accurate with a slingshot. A slingshot was a 45 ACP of the day. Okay? It was a 9mm of the day. And then the men of Israel, besides Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men who draw the sword, and all of these were men of war. It seems like these people sure like to kill people, don't they? Now the sons of Israel rose and went up to Bethel and inquired of God and said, "Who shall go up first for us in the battle against the sons of Benjamin?" Then the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." The sons of Israel rode in the morning and camped against Gibeah, Judah, you know, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the men of Israel went out into the battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel arrayed a battle against them at Gibeah. Then the son of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and fell to the ground on that day, 22,000 men of Israel. Now, Benjamin looked like he's going to win. Son of the right hand. But the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and arrayed for battle again in the place where they had arrayed themselves the first day. And the sons of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall we again draw near battle against the sons of my brother Benjamin?" And the Lord says, "Go up against him." Now, over one woman being killed, we got a lot of people dying. The rebellious act, but not only that, there's homosexuality involved in this mess. Then the sons of Israel came against the sons of Benjamin the second day, and Benjamin was out against them from Gibeah the second day and fell to the ground. 18,000 men are going to die. All who drew the sword. Then all the sons of Israel and all the people went up to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, by the way. And they wept and they remained there before the Lord and fasted that day and until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, Aaron's son, stood before them to minister in these days, saying, "Shall I yet go out again against the battle of my sons of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand." So Israel set them in ambush around Gibeah. And the sons of Israel went up against the sons of Benjamin on the third day and arrayed themselves against Gibeah as in other times. And the sons of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city, and they began to strike and kill some of the people as at other times on the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah, and in the field about 30 men of Israel. And the sons of Benjamin said, "They are struck down before us as at first." But the sons of Israel said, "Let us flee, that we may draw them away from the city to the highways, out in the open." They had confidence now they're going to come out there and chase after them. Then all the men of Israel rose from their place and arrayed themselves at Baal Tamar. The Lord of Palms. And the men of Israel in the ambush broke out of their place, even at Meragibah. When 10,000 choice men from Israel all came against Gibeah, the battle became fierce. But Benjamin did not know that disaster was close to them. And the Lord struck Benjamin before Israel. The Lord struck Benjamin. So that the sons of Israel destroyed 25,100 men of Benjamin that day, all who drew the sword. 25,100 men are dead now. They're killing each other. They get their eyes off the Lord and they start killing each other. So the sons of Benjamin saw that they were defeated when the men of Israel gave ground to Benjamin because they relied on the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. And the men in ambush hurried and rushed against Gibeah. And the men in ambush also deployed and struck all the city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed sign between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they should make a great cloud of smoke arise from the city. Then Israel turned in battle, and Benjamin began to strike and to kill about 30 men of Israel. For they said, surely they are defeated before us, as in the first battle. But when the cloud began to rise from the city, in a column of smoke, Benjamin looked behind them, and behold, the whole city was going up in smoke to heaven. Then the men of Israel turned, and the men of Benjamin were terrified, for they saw the disaster was close to them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel toward the direction of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them while they were out in the cities, destroyed them in the midst of them. They surrounded Benjamin. They pursued them without rest, and trod them down opposite Gibeah toward the east. Thus 18,000 men of Benjamin fell, and all these were valiant warriors. And the rest turned and fled toward the wilderness, to the rock of Rimon. But they caught 5,000 of them on the highways and overtook them, and they killed 2,000 of the 5,000. So all of Benjamin who fell that day were 25,000 men who draw the sword, and all these were valiant warriors. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimon. And they remained at the rock of Rimon for 4 months. And the men of Israel then turned back against the sons of Benjamin and struck them with the edge of the sword, both the entire city with the cattle and all that they found. They also set on fire all the cities which they found. Brutal cruelty, viciousness, blood. Blood shed every direction. Now the men of Israel had sworn at Mizpah, saying, none of us will give his daughter to a Benjamite in marriage. So the people came to Bethel, and they sat there before God until evening, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept bitterly. And they said, why, O Lord God of Israel, has this come about in Israel, that one tribe should be missing today in Israel? And it came about the next day that the people rose up early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then the sons of Israel said, who is there among our tribes of Israel who did not come up into the assembly of the Lord? Again now, watch out. For they have taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, who shall surely be put to death? They're going to kill some more. The sons of Israel were sorry for their brother Benjamin and said, one tribe is cut off from the Israel today. What shall we do for the wives of those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage? And they said, what is there of the tribes of Israel who did not come up to the Lord in Mizpah? And behold, one tribe had come to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. And when the people had numbered, behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. And the congregation sent 12,000 of the valiant warriors there and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with women and the little ones. And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who has lain with a man. Every woman is not a virgin. And they found among the inhabitants of Gibeah 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him. And they brought them to the camp of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Now Shiloh was where the tabernacle was. Then the whole congregation sent word and spoke to the sons of Benjamin who were in the rock of Rimon and proclaimed peace among them. And Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them women whom they had kept alive, and women of Gibeah Gilead, yet they were not enough for them. So the people were sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for the wives for those who are left, since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? There must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe may not be blotted out before Israel." These people were worried more about the letter of the law than they were about individuals, as you can see. "But we cannot give them wives of our daughters, for the sons of Israel had sworn, saying, 'Cursed is the one who gives a wife to Benjamin.' And they said, 'Behold, there is a feast of the Lord from year to year in Shiloh, which is in the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway, and goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Lebanon.' And he commanded the sons of Benjamin, saying, 'Go up and lie in wait in the vineyards. And watch, and behold, if all the daughters of Shiloh come out to take part in the dances, then you shall come out of the vineyards, and each one of you shall catch your wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin.'" Go out there and steal a woman. Didn't ask him to go out there and court him. He said, "Go out there and steal them." "And it came about when their fathers and their brothers had come to complain to us that we should say to them, 'Give them us voluntarily, because we did not take for each man Benjamin's wife in battle, nor did you give them to them, else you would be now guilty.' And the sons of Benjamin did so, and took wives according to their number from those who had danced, whom they carried away. And they went and returned to their inheritance and built cities and lived there in them. And the sons of Israel departed from there at the time, every man to his tribe and family, and each one of them went out from there to the inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes." Again in 1 Corinthians, "And all ate and drank of the same spiritual food. All drank of the same spiritual rock, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." Now these things happened to them as an example for us, that we should not crave evil things as they craved. "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drank and stood up to play.' Now let us not, nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 men fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, an example to us, that they were written and are for our instructions, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Women, you have it made today in this country. You're looked upon as individuals. You're looked upon as human beings. In the New Testament, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say have your husband pray for you. It says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see that in the New Testament. It's such a gift of God, isn't it? So much better now than it was back then. And yet in the many parts of the world today, it is as it was then. Let us pray for those out there that are still living under this cloud of darkness. Our Father, we send this message out, thanking you for the time we live in. And yet we pray for those brothers and sisters out there living in darkness in the world, where they still live under this same curse of the viciousness of man upon man. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.